name is Barry Allen. I am the fastest man alive.
RandomChatter.com presents a Flash podcast.
You see that red blur?
Dedicated to the discussion of the Flash television series.
A lot to discuss.
Scarlet Velocity.
Run, Barry, run!
Welcome to Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. Thanks for slowing down for a moment. I'm your host, Josh.
Hello, Josh. My name is Eobard Thawne. I've grown very fond of you.
See, now I don't believe you. But you wouldn't say something like that if you weren't coming at me with that vibrating axe hand. You know, why don't you just use your vibrating hand for good, like, you know, shaving. Or, come
shaving.
On,
we'll
come
leave
on,
it shaving,
shaving, or I don't know, how about making smoothies or anything else you want besides sticking it through my chest? How about
all
that?
All right. Okay. That sounds good.
All right. Well, having said that, you have discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show, The Flash, with discussion and commentary on various episodes, including the one that we're going to talk about tonight. And, Eobard, do you think you can just lower your hand for just a few minutes to
yes.
tell me maybe what we're going to cover? And because you scare me when I call you Eobard, I'm going to call you Jay.
That's fine. I think
that's
I can
okay?
handle that. Yeah.
You're okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, see, now I'm creeped out because you agreed with me.
I just have a feeling that Eobard only has – he only has – two things he can do. One, he can run really fast, really, really fast. Second thing, he makes the knife hand because, like, he's done it, like, four times now. It's just like, oh, knife hand.
That's his
knife
thing.
Hand.
That's his
I want to stick it in you. Knife hand.
He's like those the characters, you know, the people that you play when you play those fighting video games, you know, that only know one move and it kills you
oh,
every
right.
time. And they won't let you stop. And, you know, they just keep keeping you down until you die. I hate that. I still have a theory that Eobard's biggest problem in his life is his name. He's just a disgruntled supervillain because he didn't like his name growing up. He probably got made fun of it a lot.
I was thinking it was like spelled backwards, but that would be like Drabo, which is
worse.
Not much better.
No, so he had a choice. He could spell it forwards and become a supervillain, or spell it backwards and become like a circus clown. I'm Drabo the Sherbush Clown. I've grown
all
very
right,
fond
well,
of you. All right, we're getting off track. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
tell us about this episode so we can talk about all the juicy goodness.
Well, this is our 20th episode from season one called The Trap, which aired April 28th, 2015. Written by Allison Schapker and Brooke Eichmeier, excuse me. And directed by Stephen Schill. So now that Barry, Sisko, and Caitlin have perused the perilous future secrets inside Wells' hidden chamber, they have to come to a decision that, or they have come to a decision that he must be stopped. Meanwhile, Eddie, being the gentleman that he is, decides to ask Joe for Iris' hand in marriage. Joe, of course, being wiser than anybody else, says no. As for Iris, she's discovered the truth about the particle accelerator accident and the terribly dangerous yet really awesome superpowers it creates. She wants to tell Barry, but he really has more important things to deal with. He'll get back to her in just a minute. I promise I'll get right back to you. Before the team goes after Wells, however, they go Inception. Wait, or was that Dreamscape? On Sisko to reveal the dreams or premonitions or postmonitions, tachyonitions?
Yeah, I don't. Well, what would those be called? I don't know.
I don't know. Well, the visions that he's having. And then discovering that Wells had killed him in a previous timeline, Sisko agrees to be the bait to finally catch the Reverse Flash. But when the time comes, not Wells turns out to be not Wells, also known as the Everyman, Hannibal Bates. See last episode. Now it's too late. The good guy's intentions are revealed. Eobard Thawne does a little monologuing and then gets away and grabs Eddie in the process.
You know, I'm noticing all kinds of issues that you will have in your life if you take on the identity of somebody else. I'm not sure that would be my power. It seems like it causes way too many problems. People don't know what to call you. You know, you forget what you look like.
Yeah.
People use you. I don't think that would be my power.
That definitely would be problematic. And how does he know so much about Wells? Like, did Wells, like, okay, here's a page of sides, memorize this, and then run into the room?
Give him, like, what? No, was it? Well, I guess it was Wells. You think it was Wells or Eobard Thawne information that he gave him? It was probably Wells information. He gave him, like, what do you got, like, Cliff Notes of Wells?
Yeah. All right, I'm going to read this to you really fast.
Well, you know, it's not like Bates was doing anything else. He probably just gave him a stack of Wells books and then let him in on a few secrets.
Possibly, but it seemed like he kind of, I mean, I don't know. It seemed like he came up with this plan real quick, but maybe he had been thinking about this for a while.
Yeah, I think so. Well, we can get into that for sure. So, but let's talk a little news this week. There's some pretty interesting and good news this week. So, hey, first of all, we hope everyone liked our interview with Mark Hamill from last week.
Oh, I loved it.
Yes, you did, and you did a great job. And even though we had him just for a couple minutes there, it was great that he had so much important insight. I'd love to have him back on the show to talk a little bit more Flash comics, because you can tell obviously he has some deep knowledge of that kind of thing. Big comic book fan. So
he had mentioned this, and I caught him before, just days before, I guess, he was going to a Flash like reunion. I don't know if you saw the news for this, but
oh yeah,
there was a screening in LA of the Trial of the Trickster episode and Trial of the Trickster, and they had pretty much all the original cast there except for a couple actors. They had some of the producers. They had Howard Chaykin, who was one of the writers. It was old home week, and they all seemed to have a great time at that. So that was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool. Well. And somebody, I don't know if it was him, but he retweeted them, if it wasn't him, posted some pictures of them on Twitter. So right. If you're not following Mark Hamill on Twitter, he's a pretty cool. I mean, he gives a lot of props to comic book writers and people that he's working with. So it's at Hamill himself, I believe, is his Twitter handle.
Yep, that is the Twitter handle for him.
Well, this week's episode, The Trap, and I will do my very best to not reference Admiral Akbar from Return of the Jedi at any point in this episode, other than
why did you have to say that?
Sorry, it's just in there. I can't even say that word anymore. The Trap has been the highest rated episode of The Flash so far. It is actually up there with ratings similar to ABC's Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now. So
wow. That's pretty huge for a CW show.
It is.
CW shows, if I recall, when we were looking at ratings at the beginning of the season for this or for Arrow, they're usually a big deal for them is probably about a third the amount of people, maybe half the amount of people that they would get for a major network show, ABC, NBC, CBS.
Right. Much smaller network. So, Flash is, it just continues to gain momentum. And I have a feeling that the season finale will boost even more interest for season two. And I would guess, I mean, just, you know, based on how networks generally think about this kind of thing, that they will replay season one over the summer or maybe toward the end of the summer to gain some more interest at the beginning of season two. They would definitely be smart to do that if they're not thinking about it. I'm sure they are.
And what I discussed with some people at work was – the season finale is coming up here in three more episodes, but we just think how many season, quote unquote, season finales we've already had on this show. How many episodes feel like season finales because of the stuff they put in it, and we still got three more episodes. These guys are blowing my mind, Josh.
Yeah. I'm very anxious to see. It's. I almost hope that they haven't set the bar too high for the season finale, but something tells me they've planned this all along. So, anyway, okay, that's more
Barry
to come.
Barry slips on a banana peel and goes into traction or something like that. So
a banana peel. So like Grodd just like dropped a banana peel.
Yes, Grodd. Of course, Grodd drops it. So, well, speaking of that, Greg Berlanti has a. Had put out a tweet here kind of teasing the last few episodes of this season. We're just going to say Vibe is coming. His tweet is, the last run of hashtag The Flash Eps continues tonight. Here are your clues to the remaining Eps. Hashtag Vibe. Hashtag Grodd. Hashtag Rogues. Hashtag Reverse Flash. Hashtag Watch Live.
Ooh.
So...
Ooh, why? Interesting. Watch live. Ooh, wonder what's gonna. Somebody's gonna be tweeting something cool,
or maybe someone's tweeting something cool, or you know, they do have like commercials and stuff that are, you know, are worthwhile. Some you know, except for the, I don't know if there's stupid AT&T commercials I keep seeing with the bedazzler in it, but that's on every show that I watch now, I think, but. You know, there. When you watch live, you get the preview for the next week. Maybe they'll have some kind of tease at the end of the season, potentially, for this new spinoff show.
Well, if not, that's an interesting idea, actually. Well, this before we talk about the spinoff show for a second here, if nothing else, watch live. You know, maybe because there's so many exciting things in the show. That you better watch it when it happens because people are going to be talking about it.
Just a way to boost their ratings more. But yeah, no.
Hey, whatever works. It's working.
Yeah,
but
know,
anyway, the only one you didn't know in there, let's see, Reverse Flash, Rogues, Grodd, nothing new there, but Vibe.
Vibe
right there. So looks like Cisco may be getting a little action.
Well, he's been talking about how he's been working with sound waves. He had some cool little glasses, which were not. They looked similar to Vibe's goggles, but obviously did not work that way this week. But
right,
could be pretty cool.
Well, you mentioned the spinoff show.
I did.
Okay, and it looks like we may get lucky early here. They are going to potentially have a trailer for the spinoff show during the May 14th. Presentation. No, wait. It's the May 14th. That's not the finale, is it?
No. So what I think this is, May 14th is a Thursday, but it's like a CW presentation. Actually, it's they didn't have a name for it, but I think it's like their
it's like their company.
It's like an
preview.
Investors call. Yeah, it's the preview / investors call where they talk about the new shows they're going to be doing for the following year,
right.
or you know what they're bringing back, just to get advertisers and other people interested. So the finale of The Flash is going to be on the 19th of May, which is a few days after. So, That would be cool if they showed something internally for the CW on Thursday, and then the following Tuesday, maybe showed it during the finale.
You know what? I have a theory.
You do?
I do have a theory. Do you remember a couple weeks ago when they had that sweet, awesome, killer mini film, Fight Club in the arena?
Yeah,
when they had all the characters from the shows, the heroes and villains. What if they were filming it during that? What if that's one of the reasons a lot of those characters were getting together?
Oh, wow.
And while they were there, they just made that nice little thing. Now, there's some background scenes, some behind-the-scenes making of that you can find online. I think it was Stephen Amell that posted that. But I bet you could find it pretty easy with a Google search if you're interested in seeing a little bit more about that. But I don't know. That's just a theory. Of why they got together like that, considering a lot of those characters are going to be on this spinoff show, allegedly.
Yeah. Oh, that's giving me goosebumps. Yeah,
it is.
So. That'd be cool.
A lot of fun. Hey, there's so many cool, fun things in between episodes lately that it's great to kind of just pop around the internet and see what you can find. But you know what? There was a lot of really good stuff in this episode too. So let's start talking about that.
Alrighty.
All right. The trap. Okay.
It's a trap.
Now. Right,
that's it. I'm sorry. I'm done.
I still like it. I don't dislike it. I just don't want to irritate people with it. all right. So, man, the very first scene ends up, you know, where we left off or starts where we left off last week with them in this secret bunker. The time vault. That's right.
That's a great name for it, too. I don't know why we hadn't thought of that.
Well, we were waiting for them to reveal it, I think, so we could we could say it. But that scene gave me serious goosebumps because I knew Wells was on his way. I didn't. Okay, I'm an idiot, but it never occurred to me that Flash could get them out of there in the blink of an eye. I kept thinking, come on, like he's down the hall. Go, hurry. Oh, well, wait a minute. I forgot he has super speed. But
the call's coming from inside the house.
but that reveal, that scene revealed tons of stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
About the future. And now Barry knows so much more about the future.
Did you read the newspaper? I'm going to cover that in our references section.
Yes.
But I'm going to post some photos of the newspaper close-ups so you too can read the newspaper. The Queen and Wayne Tech story is not a real story, just FYI. But apparently the entire Flash Vanishes in Crisis, whatever that one, it's a real story. Like, you can read pretty much the majority of that, and there's some really cool stuff to discover in there. Like I said, I'll touch on a few things and references at the end of the show, but otherwise, check it out on our Facebook page.
Yeah, but one huge thing there is that Gideon reveals that Barry created her, it.
Whoa.
Thing.
Yeah.
Whatever. That's interesting.
That is... I mean, he's a CSI. What does he know about quantum computing?
Well, maybe that he's taken some like some night classes with Cisco or Felicity, maybe.
yeah, maybe with Felicity. Well, yeah, we found out that that he created the Gideon, and you know has can ask her to not reveal certain things. He found out obviously that he is destined to marry Iris, I guess. Given the what is that called? The her name
byline,
the byline, right? So,
well,
I have actually. This ties back into one of my predictions from a previous episode. Do you want me to just have a little offshoot here and talk about this real quick?
Yeah. Let's talk about this. Yeah,
because right now it's very hard. Well, at least. At the beginning of the episode, it was from what had happened before. It's kind of hard to believe that Barry would marry Iris at some point within the next 10 years at all, given what's been going on. But remember I discussed that the fact that this newspaper headline shows up instead of another newspaper headline might mean that Wells had actually changed the future, because when this newspaper was not there, when the newspaper that said post office closes permanently or something like that, Wells got all upset. And we know that he's there to change the future. So my idea is that this newspaper represents the changed future. So in the post office newspaper future, I don't think Barry is married to Iris, and that may, if Barry succeeds in stopping Wells from changing the future here, that event of the Flash vanishing would not happen, because that may be what stem the them vanishing and the Flash of Light may stem of Barry going back to when his mom got killed and stuff like that. Mm. And if none of that happens, then I don't know that Iris would have married Barry. But for now, that's cool. It seems like that's, you know, they're trying to sync it up with what comic fans know as Barry's wife.
Huh. Yeah, it's interesting. Now, I hadn't really thought about those headlines in that context yet. I had been focusing on other things. And I do want to talk the different show, different episode later on, because it appears as if Barry goes back in time, and that happens, you know, soon. But that would imply, you know, him vanishing in the newspaper headline, that would imply that he goes back in time when his mother dies in the future.
Right.
So maybe he goes back twice and sees himself going, anyway, okay. Well, we'll get into that when it comes, when it comes around, but, let me talk a little bit about some, maybe some, not so much themes of this episode, but just some things I noticed that kind of tied together. I don't know if you want to call them parallels or bookends or something. They're not always the same, but they seem to relate to each other. You know, one of the big things that we found out, which we've kind of known this, but it was given to us, you know, Eobard Thawne, has to create Barry so he can destroy Barry.
And that's a weird contradiction there, isn't it?
It is, but it, you know, that's something you can see in some comic things, especially that are related to time travel and time, things like that. And that always brings to mind, you know, Back to the Future type things. And
yeah, it's paradoxical.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. So. And you can't get away from things like that in any time you're talking about time travel, whether it's actually happening or not, they have to actually consider it. Right.
Right.
You know, then you got the interesting, conundrum there of Eddie really wanting to marry Iris, truly loving her and wanting to give her what's right, yet Barry knows that he's going to marry Iris now, as of this episode.
Right.
So they've got the dynamic between them. I guess you could throw Joe in there too. You mentioned that, you know, he was wiser than everybody else. He still, to me, seems not more knowledgeable about what's going on, but he just has a way of looking at things that sometimes it seems like the other characters just don't get.
Joe has he's like an old soul, I guess. I mean, it's not really the ability to like see into the future, but he, you know, as a detective, I guess it probably serves him well. He has these hunches.
Yeah, he just gets things. I guess, yeah. You know what, he can see, he can see the potential for situations, you know, where they might go and what problems they could cause. One thing he doesn't really have is tact. man, you know what I've observed on this show is that, unfortunately, people in this series have a problem that we have in our society a lot right now, is that they can't stop looking at their dang phones. Finally, at the end, you know, Eddie's like, he tells Iris, can you just not answer that right now? Is it possible? Can you just put the stupid phone down?
No, the phone's ringing. I have to answer it.
I mean, Joe, if you're going to say no to Eddie with this big reveal, can you at least give him a reason? Can you, I mean, let the poor guy at least understand where you're coming from. Don't just say no and then go, hey, I gotta get this call.
Oh, I gotta go.
Not that he's wrong. I get it. And as a father, I respect that decision very much, because he could have just sucked it up and been polite to Eddie and go, okay, man, if you think this is what's best. But he didn't. He was honest.
Well, what's cool is at that point, we don't know that Barry ever revealed what he saw fully in the room to Joe, because obviously they were talking in front of Eddie when they were discussing the fact that they were in the room in the first place. So Barry knows, quote unquote, that he will marry Iris, given what he's seen of the future, along with the fact that he's going to get a new costume pretty soon, or at some, or in the next 9 years at some point. So
I have a feeling it's going to be pretty soon. Cisco is pretty excited
it'll be pretty
about
soon.
It.
But Joe doesn't know that. Joe doesn't know that Barry saw Iris's hyphenated name on the newspaper article.
No.
So Joe's rationale and decision as to why he says no is based entirely on something else, which is also correct.
Yeah.
And I appreciated them putting that in there, because like you said, Joe just knows. He knows that Iris you know, is interested in Barry, regardless of whatever else is going on. Well, and he's letting her live his life, but he knows.
Yeah, well, he's basing his decision on knowing his daughter, understanding his daughter. And again, as a father, and especially a father of girls, I really respected his honesty in this. You know, I want what's best for my girls. Now, what's best for your kids is not always necessarily what they want at the time, and definitely not always what makes them happy, but sometimes you got to make those big decisions, and this was a big one for Joe. So I did respect that. Though, I got to say, despite our predictions for Eddie throughout the season since day one, you know, just based on his name, I really do like the dude, you know? I mean...
Oh, there's really nothing wrong with him, yeah. I mean, he's a nice enough guy.
Yeah, but I mean, I not just like... Yeah, I mean, he seems like a good guy. I actually really like him. I mean, I want him to be happy too. And I kind of feel like, and maybe that's why I was so irritated at Joe for not explaining, because I'm like, yeah, you know, poor Eddie.
Well, he's your partner. You owe him a little more than
you
that.
Do. Yeah, he does. He does. I
but again, but now that being said, I'm not. He's not really a guy I feel like I'd want to go out and get a drink with. To me, his characterization does seem to go back and forth between being a likable enough guy to being a little whiny.
A little self-centered sometimes, I suppose.
Yeah.
But again, yeah, likable enough guy. Anyway.
Yeah.
I kind of just, maybe I feel like he's getting kind of the shaft lately, you know? He's been let in on this secret that he really didn't need to be let in on, and it's a burden, you know? I mean, it's a true burden, and he had no choice in the matter.
Right.
And I guess maybe that's why I've got some sympathy for him lately, but anyway, we'll see what happens. I'll talk about Eddie here in a little bit.
He's got a lot more going on. Yep.
Jeez. Poor guy. Anyway, you know, we had some flashbacks in this. Now, that's not something we have typically seen in The Flash, strangely enough, based on the word flashback. They were doing that in the first few episodes of the season.
Just a little bit to clarify.
Yeah, but then they stopped, which I was actually glad they stopped. I didn't want them to kind of get in that pattern that Arrow has seemed to get into, which has worked mostly for Arrow. Not so much sure about this season, but we got some interesting character reveals in this. All of the flashbacks were when Barry was in a coma.
About 3 weeks into the... into his coma.
Mm-hmm. But it was from three different characters' points of view.
Yep.
And they're all hanging out with Barry, which apparently in this hospital, they don't have their patients wear shirts while they're laying in comas in bed. I've never been in a hospital like that, but I guess if you look like Barry, that's cool. So Joe's was first, and he was desperate to save Barry. Interesting, you know, I never pictured Barry being in any danger. And, you know, in my mind, as I was thinking, I never pictured him being in any danger when he was in a coma. Here he's, you know, seizing up, and the doctors are trying to stabilize him and everything. So,
good point. Yeah.
I found that kind of interesting. It just never occurred to me, I guess. I always just kind of pictured, he was in a coma, and then he just laid there for several months.
9 months or whatever it was, yeah.
So he's so desperate to save Barry that he agrees to let Wells help him. But yet Joe reveals, he tells Barry, never trusted him. Never.
Yeah, even kind of against his own better judgment. If it was up to Joe, it was up to Joe, but his first thought was, you know, this is not the guy that I trust. But Wells made a convincing argument, and Joe, you know, needs to make sure Barry lives. I mean,
it was
a hard choice, I think.
It was, and I think it's a choice that he kind of regrets. You know, even though Barry might have died, he still thinks that maybe that wasn't the best choice. It was kind of a rare moment of weakness in Joe's decision making. You know, we just said how wise Joe is and usually knows people, and he did have his suspicions about Wells. But yet he still went along with it, you know?
Yeah.
like saying yes on that bad date. You know, you knew. But so we see how Barry got into Wells' care because of Joe. Very kind of touching moment there. I mean, when Barry was seasoned up and Joe ran out there and, you know, calling him his son, and I thought that was cool. I really do still think of Joe as Barry's dad.
Yeah. That was a good scene between Jesse or that Jesse did there.
We also see Iris and her interaction with Coma Barry. And she really admits some really strong feelings for Barry. And I think she's real conflicted at this point because it looks like Eddie's starting to really kind of come on to her strong. And she's, you know, got these feelings, but won't, of course, admit it to him when he's awake. But thanks, Iris.
Well, and, you know, it's tough. I mean, I would imagine that you come up with all sorts of realizations when you think someone's not going to, you know, survive, like they're not going to make it.
100%. I can attest to that from firsthand experience, you know, from various family members that have been in the hospital. So absolutely, yeah. 100%. Maybe that's why I wanted to mention that scene so much, is because it really did kind of touch a personal heartstring there. But also we discover that, you know, it's very dry in Central City. You need to use a static guard.
Yes.
Not sure. Now, I don't know if you know what that is where you live. I think you have more humidity than I do up here a mile high in the atmosphere where we have no moisture. So we'll revisit her experience, her shocking experience with Barry's finger here in a little bit. And then
nice tease.
finally, we see Eobard Thawne / Wells's interaction with Barry, where he had the opportunity to kill Barry right then.
Yep.
With Vibrohand.
Again, Flash. His one move.
Well, you know, if it works for you, you stick with it.
Yeah.
Could have done it. I wonder if he has like vibro foot, you know, can he do other things? I don't know.
So anyway, he too is conflicted by the whole Barry in a coma.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's where he reveals.
Yeah. I mean, because he can't go home unless he makes Barry into the Flash. But if he makes Barry into the Flash, he gets stuck here in the past, having to wait out 15 years until he can get to this point where he's trying to turn Barry into the Flash.
I find it a little odd, and maybe this is just my, you know, efficient brain thinking. I find it a little odd that he wouldn't just sacrifice going to the future in order to, you know, act out on this revenge or whatever it is that he wants to kill Barry for. It seems like his need to kill Barry is stronger than anything else, and I'm curious as to why he needs to get home so bad. You know, I mean, he's lived here for 15 years. Why not just kill Barry and stay?
Well, imagine everything that you've done. Like, the way I'm looking at this is, I don't know if you ever watched the more recent Doctor Who's, but they had two characters, since there's a lot of time travel, that were meeting at different points in the timeline. So one, the Doctor Who's character, we follow him, and everything that happens on each preceding episode is, you know, in linear progression forward in his timeline. And he kept meeting another character, and the first time he meets that character is the last time that that character meets him, and then that character dies. So on his first meeting with a character dies, and then he meets the character again later, which is his second meeting, but the second to last meeting for the other character. So the other character has been meeting him for a long time. So I'm thinking that Wells is kind of at that point now. When he meets Barry in the coma, Wells is at the end of his timeline, basically. He's done all this stuff, and all he has to do is get back to the future to kill the Flash. So if he kills the Flash right now, before anything has ever happened with Barry, it negates everything that Wells has ever done with his life, you know, whatever schemes he's put into place or anything like that. I would assume it has some weird timey-wimey sort of thing like that. I don't know.
Bringing it back to the Doctor Who. So, yeah, yeah, interesting. Well, yeah, and he clearly has an ultimate goal, and it seems like I don't know. I mean, I guess he wants to kill Barry in the future. He came back to kill Barry in the distant past, so we'll see. But you know what? He, man, just cranked up the creepiness factor in this episode. We find out that he's been watching every move the group has made. He's got hidden cameras all over the place.
Answered a lot of my questions from previous weeks as to, like, I was asking about, how did he know about Mason Bridge?
Well, yep.
We got that solved.
Yep. And
not just cameras. It's like they're like time portals, because when Barry was standing there looking at the screen, he was watching himself getting disrobed when he was about to start making out with who was the sports reporter?
Chang? Linda Chang? No, is that her name?
Linda Park.
Park. Why, where did I get Chang? Linda Park, yes.
And then there's Barry. So Barry's watching all these. He's watching himself pull down the list of, you know, things about his mom's murder. He's watching Iris and Eddie in bed. I mean, it's scenes from all the other episodes that we've watched here.
You don't think he just DVR'd them, you know? So he could play back later, especially that scene with Linda Park.
maybe.
And there was a scene with Eddie and Iris there, I think, too.
Yep, in bed.
Creepy. Yep. See, I told you, creepy. Matter of fact, I personally put on pants for tonight's show after this episode, because I don't know. I don't know where Wells is. Not yet, anyway. But that, I didn't think about the Mason Bridge. I did see that scene where Iris was working at the newspaper, and I in my mind I was thinking, oh, that's why he was at the newspaper, so he could plant a camera, but clearly he had already been there, because I can't remember exactly where that was in the timeline, but that was crazy. I tell you what, he's doing such a good job as Harrison Wells or whoever.
Tom Cavanaugh is doing a tremendous job. I hope because now he's revealed himself that he doesn't disappear from the show for episodes at a time.
Yeah, I agree. Although I have a feeling, again, calling back to Arrow and the kind of thing that they've done from season to season on that, there's kind of a big bad guy. They weren't necessarily gone forever. You know, like, say, Deathstroke. He came back, but not too often. Which is okay if they come up with some other things that are equally as creepy and dangerous as Reverse Flash. So, Reverse Flash is a nemesis, though.
Yeah.
You know, as far as Arrow goes, I'm not sure that there's a major nemesis in the history of Green Arrow comics. He's had some pretty big bad guys that he's fought against, but...
I kind of always think Merlin is, but not in the way at least they're doing it on the CW.
Yeah. And also, that's not the first... You know, it's hard for me to think of any big one when I think of Green Arrow comics, but I agree with you. He's a big one. So, I thought it was really interesting how they included that scene of Barry talking to Joe about how he feels about Wells. You know, how he's got a little bit of affection because he has helped him so much. And no,
he helped him in this episode.
Yeah. And now at this point, when we saw that scene, we didn't know how much Wells was watching them, but, so I think, you know, I think Barry's affection towards him probably changed by the end of the episode. But, I thought it was interesting that they included that in there because, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I would feel about that, knowing that this guy was as evil, but yet he's still so close to me as a friend, you know, as a mentor.
Right. Well, it's the conundrum that we've discussed previously on the show. It's like, how do we reconcile? There's this character that, you know, really, basically he wants to kill the Flash. But on the flip side of that, he has helped these characters achieve greater heights than they could ever have gotten on themselves. And I mean, and it's like he says to Cisco in all the realities that he's been in there, it's like, you know, you make me realize what it's like to have a son. I mean, this guy might be psychotic or whatever, but he can still be affected by those around him. He's not, you know, he's not a complete monster, I guess.
No, even though, as he said, none of this is forgiven, you know. I'm still going to kill you. Make no mistake.
Yeah.
It's not I'd say 99% monster, maybe. So, you know, I want to go back to that sense of balance, because we see Cisco setting this trap. And I thought it was very interesting that the way they set this up, because they could have just come up with another way to trap him or come up with a different scheme. Not that they – I guess they do figure out that it didn't work. And he discovers that it was a hologram, but that happened right before. But when they go back and they revisit his visions – they kind of see what happened or what potentially could have happened. Still not sure exactly how they would do that. But it's interesting that they really paralleled that. And even down to the timing of the way Wells came in and where Cisco was standing when Wells came in, how he was turned around. It was really interesting. So, but there was differences. There was almost some mirror images of certain things of that scene. So a few episodes back when before the tidal wave and before Barry leaped back into time, a la Sam Beckett there, when Cisco dies, he didn't have the force field reversed like he does now.
Right.
So I suppose that gave him kind of a heads up when they were looking at his visions, right? So is that why he did that, or did it just he just came up with a new idea since
I think he decided to do that when he saw in his visions that, you know, Reverse Flash is going to come at him and try to kill him, and so how do you stop a speedster from getting to you? And so that's probably when he put the, you know, got the idea to reverse the force field so he could stand inside of it. Remember how I kind of joked earlier in the show about how did when Wells comes in this particular episode in the now, not in any of the visions or anything like that.
Okay.
How did, because it was Everyman, right? It was Hannibal Bates disguised as Wells. It was Hannibal Bates as Eobard Thawne disguised as Wells.
Telling you, see, shapeshifting, not a good power.
Right. How did he know what to say about Wells? Because I got an inkling that something was up, because in the original timeline and the vision, both of those matched up with the dialogue that was said. And
timeline-wise, this would have been weeks later in their lives, you know, even though it synced up so well.
Right. But in the scene, like, Hannibal comes, you know, opens the elevator, the doors open or whatever. Mm-hmm. Hannibal comes out and he says the beginning of what Wells had said in the previous version of the timeline. But then, because Cisco is responding differently, Wells is responding differently, you know, to all that. And actually says some different things. Now, there are some things that are similar, like, they both closed in the past and the vision and the present. Wells goes over and closes the laptop. But there were just enough differences that it seemed, you know, something's off. But I thought maybe it was because Cisco was interacting with him differently in this version of the events, you know, so that would cause Wells to react differently.
Yeah. Now, you asked how he knew so much about Wells or how Wells would react. I really think that this has been an optional plan with Wells since they captured the Everyman. And I think he's probably been schooling him. I think Wells has been schooling Bates since then. And then...
Well, we saw that Wells was, you know, checking out other villains that they were putting in the pipeline, you know, months ago, you know, for their power. So we can assume that everybody that's in the pipeline right now has powers that, you know, Wells might be able to use to his advantage in some fashion or another.
Oh, I suppose
not to get
so.
Home necessarily, but.
Suppose so, but he would have really had to coach him up to the point where he says, hold your hand up like you're gonna, you know, stab it through Sisko's chest, which Sisko's never actually witnessed. Sisko doesn't know anything about that. So I mean, Wells was really thorough in his coaching of telling Bates what to do. Which I think some is just, you know, convenience of story, but
right. Well, and also, you know, like, oh, you got to make sure if he mentions Nora Allen, you got to say, well, I didn't mean to kill her. You know, I mean, because that was the same as well. So
watching all that and after we discovered who it was, I am wondering if Wells knew about the alternate timeline as well. Did he have some kind of visions that he was able to maybe hone in a little bit easier than Sisko was? Because it seemed like he kind of suspected or knew and wasn't saying. I mean, clearly he knows a lot more than he'd been acting.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, we found that out in this episode. But I'm wondering if he had some of those similar things happening. He knew Barry changed the time. So I'm wondering if he maybe figured out how to access. And he knew exactly what to do to help Sisko access those memories. So maybe he had already done it and already solved that.
He had gone through his own beta wave.
Yes.
I hadn't thought about that. That's that's possible.
If he had done that and saw what happened, then he would really be able to coach Bates into acting exactly the way he did that night.
Which
would have been very freaky for Sisko, having, you know, just recently seen the way he acted, and he's acting the same way. So it was, it would have been very convincing.
Nice.
Now I'm a little confused about this force field. Is it like those, shields that they had in Dune where if you go slow, then you can get through it?
Or the weirding modules?
Yeah. Was it like that? Because
the slow blade penetrates.
Because Barry walked in it at one point.
Yeah, well, he said it stops speedsters. Like, so only if the guy's coming at me at super speed?
Yeah, that's what I was a little worried about.
Because it deflected Barry both times, but, I mean, Bates obviously is not going fast at all.
Right, so. But what I was saying, Barry walked in at one, after Bates was dead, he stepped onto that platform. Now, maybe the force field had been turned off.
Yeah, I don't remember if it went off or not.
I don't know either, but that was one scene that kind of made me think. I won't say it threw me or anything like that, but and then of course, you know, another difference was that Barry and Joe were hiding in there waiting, and I think Sisko probably felt a little more confident. Not that it's
don't say anything. We're hiding here.
Yeah, because well, they didn't know how much Wells was watching him at that point.
Right.
All right. So let's think about this for a second, because I talked about this last week. The Everyman does indeed know that Barry is the. Oh wait. Oh, you know, you could add him to the list of people that know. You can.
I
put him
to
on
the list, and then I scratch him off.
Oh, you did, because he's dead.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Never mind about that. But
okay.
Iris knows.
Oh, right. Zap.
She's a lot cuter anyway, so we can add her to the list. Yeah, okay. So
she was already on the list. I added her on the list for episode 115, but episode 116.
It took that off.
Reverse that. Yeah,
she's going to have like an asterisk and a star and an exclamation point and any other top row keyboard symbols.
Right.
but now she knows in the what we are assuming is the legitimate timeline based on her little.
You do not know how loud I shouted. I was like, finally. And
now, was it when she got shocked or when she said Barry?
When she said Barry.
Okay, there you go.
But also, Candace Patton did a tremendous job in this episode. I mean, they wrote Iris, I think, really well this episode. You know, she's been doing a lot of investigation on her own. But even the flashback scene you were talking about earlier with her, that very emotional sequence for her to play. And I'm just so glad they finally have brought Iris up to speed, so to speak. And like, just let, all right, so now let's just move on. Everybody knows. Because at some point in Flash lore, everybody does know who the Flash is.
I mean, the whole city.
Yeah. I mean, he's the Flash. It's Barry Allen. He's the Flash.
Yeah, but
it's because it doesn't matter.
You do have to work up to that because you do have that that problem that heroes will have with loved ones being in danger because of it. So definitely have to work up to that. At least that's what I'm doing. You know, but I don't want anybody to know yet.
But Iris, go home. You'll be safe there. How are you safe at home from a guy that can travel at, you know, insane speeds?
You're not safe anywhere.
There's no place that she's safe. It's just. That's a little silly, but I mean, Barry's a little naive about, you know, about this whole heroing thing anyway, because he's new at it. He's getting there.
Yeah, he's getting there. He's getting there fast too. He is the Flash. All right. So I do want to go back to one more point here. Last week, I came up with a little far-fetched theory about Eddie Thawne. And that was when, you know, the Everyman had changed into him. And my theory was that, Wells or Eobard Thawne had taken over Eddie Thawne's body and eventually worked his way down the family line and became his own whatever great-great-great-grandpa. Hey, you know what? That's seeming like it might make a little more sense right now.
That could totally be possible.
Okay. Thawne has Thawne. Although I should probably say Eobard has Eddie. He has him now. Now, he says that Eddie is his insurance policy. What does that mean, do you think?
Well, I had some questions about this because it's like, all right, so insurance policy is usually something you take out to protect yourself.
A hostage?
In the event of a catastrophe of some kind. So I would think calling Eddie an insurance policy is kind of weird because he would basically want to protect Eddie from getting any kind of damage or anything like that.
Why? Because it would endanger his future self?
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. Because if Eddie doesn't exist anymore, then you don't exist in the future. And how can you be here? And then like Marty in the Polaroid and you start to fade out. So I don't know, that really confused me as well. I was not completely certain on that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, if that is the case, if he is a distant relative, then yes, that would make sense. Still, to me, that's not an insurance policy. You know that. So I agree with that. Would be a little confusing. As far as a hostage goes, sure, that would be an insurance policy. But why wouldn't you just take Iris or, you know, somebody that's even closer to Eddie closer to Barry, Cisco or Caitlin or Joe or, you know, I mean, just about anybody else besides Eddie. Not that Eddie's not a friend, but definitely not the person he's closest to. So that would make sense as an insurance policy, but not for Eddie. So, all right. What if his insurance policy is, well, if this doesn't work out, I'll just take over as Eddie. They won't know I'm Eddie, and I can continue with a charade by becoming Eddie Thawne, leading up to what my theory was last week, that he is indeed his own great-great-great-grandpa.
Wow.
Now, I want to read this quote that I read from ScreenRant.com. It says, since Eddie's death, would mean Thawne was never born. His role as Leverage is presumably a safe one. But the introduction of Barry and Iris's eventually marriage is sure to place Eddie's character on a new path. So it says, since Eddie's death would mean Thawne was never born, his role as Leverage is presumably a safe one. But if he takes over as Eddie, he can kill him. Not only can he kill him, but the actor can continue on the show as Eddie Thawne / not Eddie Thawne.
Oh, but that would mean that Tom Cavanaugh has to go away.
It would. He could come back, which I would be disappointed in. I don't necessarily want my theory to take place, but it's an interesting thing to think about, and it does seem to fit.
I like that. That's really cool, Josh. Yeah,
and you could have Tom Cavanaugh as in flashbacks and things like that.
Sure.
Or something. I don't know. But anyway, I just want you to kind of think about that and put it out there because I felt a little better this week. I'm like, hey, maybe I thought of something smart like Jay.
Yay. cool.
All right. Well, there were some awesome references this week. And again, as Flash does, they weren't all necessarily DC comic references. They were more like pop culture references, right. Some of them. But I want to touch on them real quick here. So sure. You mentioned earlier on the newspaper,
mm-hmm.
and Cisco noticed this as well. It seemed to be the first thing Cisco noticed.
His
redder suit, or his brighter red suit, I guess, mm-hmm. With the white background behind the lightning bolt.
Yeah, which is, what does that mean? We change it now because that's what we saw? I was messing with him.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I think they will.
And then Barry, or when Gideon's reading information about Barry Allen, she says, Barry is the founding member of what? The Flash Fan Club?
Oh, yeah, that's got to be it.
Yeah. In the tie-in one-page comic that they do for some of these episodes that the producers tweet out,
mm-hmm.
It actually, there's just a tiny bit more dialogue. It says, Barry, the founding member of the and then it cuts off right there. So Justice League of America.
So there you go. They got the Justice League reference in there. I can't believe awesome. You cut him off or cut her off.
Yeah.
So interesting in the article, it mentions some other heroes, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It mentions the Atom and Hawk Girl. Who we know is going to be wait, is she going to be in the spinoff or is that going to be a separate?
She's
going to
be in the spinoff.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But it also mentions Green Arrow.
Yes.
As opposed to just Arrow.
Yes.
Leading me to some interesting theories in the Arrow universe on that show. So I might talk about that this week on Green Justice.
That's cool. It is nine years in the future, so it will take a little while.
Well, they're not nearly as wild as the one with Eddie, but. And then also you added this, it mentioned Police Chief Joe West.
Right, right. Same way that Barry was, whatever, the director of the CSI division, Joe is now the police chief. So
that's not.
I have a feeling that this article is written from the perspective of the spinoff show because we know there's going to be time travel. So what better time to show us Flash vanishing in a crisis than that? Huh. So.
Interesting. Well, we talked about how the byline in the paper now says Iris West Allen, they noticed, but it did used to say somebody else. It said Evan Gibson.
Okay.
Don't know who Evan Gibson is.
Well, the paper's changed a couple times between the pilot and then I think episode 7 when we saw it close up, they changed some of the header information on the paper and you know, once they got picked up for a show, they made it a little more complete. So.
Oh, sure, when you put it that way. I like to think more of it like the butterfly effect, see? It's you messing with time, and it just keeps tweaking the paper a little bit.
Oh, got it, yeah. Got it.
Also, you know, you said we saw the visor sunglasses thing that he used, Cisco used to check out his visions, resembled very much the superhero vibes goggles that he wears, or mask goggles, sunglasses thing, I guess. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know much about Vibe. Do those actually do anything with this, or is it just a disguise?
No, I think it was just he looked cool because he was a breakdancer, too.
That's right.
in the comics. That's the most important thing that you can take home about Vibe.
No, the most important thing is some of the cartoons of Vibe that you can find on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Please ask your parents' permission before Googling those.
Yes, please. Yes. All right. So also, I want to cover some of the pop culture references just real quick. He talked, Cisco talked about Inception, which is, you know, that classic, not classic, well, I guess it's a classic, but a few
it
years
could
ago.
Be a classic, yeah.
Few years ago, the movie that came out where they went into people's dreams and things.
Dreams and into their dreams within their dreams. Yeah. Christopher Nolan film.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also the movie Dreamscape, which some people might not know, but it was one of my favorite movies back in the 80s. Yep. And it had
Quaid.
Dennis Quaid. Thank you. His name was escaping me. Dennis Quaid, where he was going into dreams and some nice creepy scenes of them because they found out that when you die in your dream, you know, you die in real life. So
right. It was like a PG-13 version of Nightmare on Elm Street, basically.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I could see that.
Yeah.
Then he also mentioned Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, a la the pulling
Bora,
the heart.
Bora, Sega, boom, boom.
I think he even said one of the lines, didn't he?
Kalima!
That was funny. He mentioned a Back to the Future idea of Marty and the Polaroid. I think that's all he said. It was Marty and the Polaroid.
Right.
But that was from Back to the Future, where Marty was disappearing from the Polaroid picture that he carried around with him from himself, which, you know, we all did back in the 80s in our vests, pictures of our family.
What are you, in the Coast Guard?
And then the HAL reference from 2001.
To Gideon. Yep. They mentioned Gideon was referenced as HAL at one point is from Cisco. Pretty much all these come from Cisco.
Yeah, of course. Well, he watches all the same movies I do, so he and I need to hang. But were you a 2001 fan? Do you like that movie?
I enjoy it as a piece of cinema, but it's not necessarily one of my favorite films. It's a little tedious, but it's an acquired taste, let me say that. I like it more now than I used to.
That's a really good description. I like that. So not nice references. We'll continue to share those because I think they're fun and I like them. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, man alive. Okay. Just a few episodes left. Next week, we got Grodd.
Oh,
that sounds
boy.
Like something you tell your doctor, but you know what? I think it's going to be more exciting than that. But
Grodd is a lot more exciting than Scrod. I will tell you that. Yep.
Yes. All right. So, so many things. When you're talking about Vibe and stuff, there's so many things I could say, but I'm not going to. But okay, so next week we have Grodd coming, so I'm sure there'll be lots of gorilla goodness to talk about. For this week, though, we are finished. We do have to run. We are out of time.
Well, I very much enjoyed discussing this episode because it's ramping up for the, you know, we're in the, this is the fourth to the final episode for the season, and just wow, you know, we get the revelations now on this episode that I feel like we would normally be getting in a season finale. So I can't wait to see what they've got for us in the upcoming episodes. But if you guys enjoyed the episode, please be sure to leave us feedback on iTunes. We like reading any of the feedback you've got there. But if you particularly want to share 5-star reviews with you know other people that are looking for Flash podcasts, we would really appreciate that. You can also leave any information for us in our email at scarletvelocity@randomchatter.com. You can talk to us on Twitter at Scarlet Velocity, or go to our Facebook page where I'll be posting some of the images from this week's episode, and you can talk about anything else that catches your fancy there at facebook.com/Scarlet Velocity Podcast.
Hey, and you can also check out the other shows that Jay and I do, Green Justice and Arrow Podcast, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, which are both can be found at randomchatter.com, and you can find those shows, of course, in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And, of course, if you enjoy this podcast, please, please be sure to tell your friends and, of course, all of your comic book cronies that you like to hang out with in your comic book stores and anyone else that enjoys Flash and other superhero genres. And remember, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for The Flash can be found at www.cwtv.com. The Flash and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.